You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Episode 44 of the RedCafe.net podcast, we look back at the opening day victory over Newcastle United. Mr. Mujack joins us to talk all things reserves and academy, plus James Tizard of Cottage Corner helps us preview Sunday's game against Fulham.
Welcome to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net or alternatively, post your opinion on the redcafe.net forums.
Well, hello everybody and welcome to episode 44 of the redcafe.net podcast. Dov is back again. Steve isn't with us yet, but Dan is here. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dov. Good to hear you again.
Yes, indeed. 2 weeks without Steve, and we're still here, we're still alive, and we're still coping. Just
he's nothing more than a water carrier, is he? He's overrated.
He's our Mascherano. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. I've missed him. He'll be back next week though.
He'll be back next week, and then you'll be away. So
I know. Yeah, well, yeah. I've not spoken to him for a while. So I'll be in New York. So hopefully that'll be good.
Yeah. Planning your escape to the pub to watch the Fulham match next week, hopefully.
Yeah, well, like I said, I think they're 5 hours behind, aren't they? So it'll be around about 11 o'clock in the morning over there. So I just have to stumble across the bar or something. Yeah. Oh, United are on. Oh, what a fancy man.
United were playing tonight, as we both witnessed. You were there.
I was, certainly, yeah. Very good game. I thought Newcastle weren't the best team in the world, but for half an hour they did okay, and they sort of... frustrated United a little bit, but no, I think it was a good performance by everyone, really.
It really was. I mean, I think last week we raved about Paul Scholes, so should we start with Dimitar Berbatov this time round? Because just reading on the internet before we came on, a lot of people are saying, especially on the Red Cafe forums, that possibly his best game in a United shirt ever. What would you say to that?
I don't know, really. I mean, I think he seems to be enjoying his football a little bit more now. He's obviously, he's a very good player, as we've said before. And it's when he looks happy and he's getting on the ball as much as what he was, then he can dictate games. And I thought him, Paul Scholes and Nani, they controlled Newcastle, really. They couldn't get the ball off us. Every time they did, they kept giving it away. No threats up front. But Berbatov did provide, proved to be a threat. He had a few chances. That one where he nutmegged one of the defenders and the keeper saved it was a fantastic little bit of skill. And his goal was obviously clinical finish. He looked quite relieved when he scored it, a proper good celebration. I think there's more to come from Berbatov.
I think when he scored the goal, it sort of lifted, it took that pressure off him as well. I think he always plays with a little bit of that pressure, which that may be the reason why he's a bit lethargic and doesn't really play the way I would expect him.
Well, I mean, people, last year, towards the end of last season, we said in the Blackburn game, his body language is all over the show. He didn't want to be there at the time the ball came to him, and if he gave it away, he'd be blaming somebody else. But tonight, it was completely different. He was tackling back. He was tracking the right midfielder, wasn't he, at one point, and give away a free kick, but I don't mind that as long as he's getting back in there. And he controlled the game. His link-up play with Rooney wasn't the best tonight, apart from that one chance that they both created, where Berbatov, he probably should have scored it, in all honesty, but he tried the hardest thing, really, and a little side foot when he could have probably, actually put his foot through it and smashed it in, but not to worry. On another note, I thought Fletcher wasn't one of his best games today, but he still scored and had influence on a few goals as well. So there's definitely more to come. We're not in the top form, but you don't want to peak too early, do you?
We are in the top four. We're number four. Chelsea, Blackpool, Aston Villa, then us. So we've managed to creep in there just.
I'm confident we'll be in the top two. Obviously, Chelsea played well at the weekend. But I think West Brom contributed more to that than what Chelsea were brilliant. Some of the defending was absolutely, it was unbelievable. But, you know, you've got to beat what's in front of you, and fair play to Chelsea for doing that and putting six past West Brom as well.
Yeah, it looked like we were trying to get a few extra goals towards the end of the game as well. It wasn't like we thought, right, we're 2-0 up. They kept going. I think they sort of realised this early in the season that if your nearest rivals are going to put six against one of the promoted sides, you've got to at least step up to the plate maybe and try and equal it or get as close as you can to it, which was showed a bit of the hunger of the players as well, that they're not just going to sit on a 2-0 lead in the 80th minute and try and keep going and get more.
Yeah, they still went forward. Obviously, Giggs scored towards the end as well. So it was a decent run out. And like you say, they did try to get more goals. But I can't remember many shots that Harper had to save, you know. Just off the top of my head, I can't think of many, actually. Mm-hmm. But obviously, Chicharito came on. I thought he did okay. His link-up play was good. His hold-up play was all right. And they had that one chance where he got flagged offside. But I couldn't see from where he was, whether he was or not. But he looked close.
Yeah. No, it was just...
He was offside, okay. No reason. He'll obviously come good. He got a good reception when he came on. Rooney coming off, didn't have his best game. I thought when he was one-on-one with Steve Harper, he should have had a shot, but he tried playing across to Berbatov. But I think his confidence is shot at the moment, Wayne Rooney. He just needs that one goal. Just needs that little tapping or one that goes in off his arse or something, and he'll be flying again, you know.
That's 13 games he's went. He's not scored. That's for United and England combined, so obviously that... So you know that's the old cliche, when a striker scores, then the goals come in floods, and obviously they're having a drought, then they just need one and it'll lift them up, like you say, Dan. Yeah, Dan, you mentioned the two goals there, and the hunger of the players, just when Chicharito and Valencia, when they were harrying and hassling the Newcastle players, not giving up the ball in the final third, which is that was really impressive to see, and it's something I want to see a lot more of, when the team like pressing high up the park and getting the ball, like when Chicharito won the ball on the byline, which led to the last goal, and that's something really impressive to see, especially it'll endear them to the fans, and just the desire to always have the ball and to create chances was something which was really, really impressive to see.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Tevez used to do. You know, he'd harry defenders in the last sort of third, like you're saying, and it does sometimes, it reaps your rewards. But I thought Hernandez, the way he did do it, he won the ball back and knocked it back simple. Obviously, it came out to Scholes, and it, you know, it was a great finish by Giggs. I was more surprised when it went in the net, because I was at the other end of the ground, and it didn't look like it was going in, and then the net obviously bulged, and it was like, you know, a great finish.
It was. Well, we won't keep it too positive, Dan. We've got to maybe balance it a little bit. I was a bit worried with the defence at times. It looked like Johnny Evans, Vidic, sometimes losing their concentration a little bit, playing passes that were maybe a bit too dangerous or a bit too lax. A couple have got cut out, and I think it was Vidic was meant to be marking Andy Carroll. It was only 10 minutes in, who he had a free header and put it wide, luckily for us. We mentioned this in the pre-season as well, that the defence seems a bit, I don't know, just a bit shaky at times. What do you think that will be something that can improve, or do you think this is going to be maybe a season-long trend?
No, I thought that I thought Evans did okay aerially with Andy Carroll, because Carroll's a big lad, isn't he? And he's really good in the air. He was chasing his own flick-ons, though, which was a bonus for us, because there's nobody getting in behind him, obviously. So he can win them headers all he likes, but no one's going to get in and trouble us. I think Evans and Vidic, they had a lot of the ball tonight, because obviously Newcastle was sitting deep. But I think, you know, centre-half's always going to give the ball away if they have a lot of the ball, I think. But I think generally they did okay. I thought Vidic played really well. I'd be on band tonight as well, in the absence of Neville and Giggs. So I think I think he did okay. I don't think you can be too critical. Evra looked a bit shaky, sort of the first 20 minutes. He looked like as if he'd not played for a while, which he hadn't. But as the game wore on, he gradually got into it. And he played really well as well.
Indeed, it was good to see him sort of owning that left side again, that he likes to do so much. Maybe he had he's got the hearing and or the inquiry into the France World Cup debacle coming up soon. He managed to convince Fergie to let him go to that, so maybe that was playing on his mind a little bit at the start of the game.
Yeah.
3 points in the bag, Dan. So I could say you can't ask for any more than that. A good performance, fourth in the table, like we said. But and we've seen everybody play this weekend. So you've seen Arsenal, Liverpool, they drew. City and Spurs drew as well. And obviously Chelsea, like you mentioned, got that thumping 6-0 victory. I mean, obviously it's a bit early, but what we're thinking about sort of rivals for a title challenge, obviously I think Chelsea are the main ones, like we say. But do you think it's going to be Arsenal, Liverpool back in the top four chasing us? Or do you think maybe Spurs, who I thought were fantastic against City, do you think they can maybe mount a greater challenge than they did last season?
Yeah, I'm not sure about Liverpool and Arsenal. I watched that game and I thought it was pretty dire, really. Especially until Joe Cole gets sent off. Nothing was happening in that game. No team wanted to go and win it. Unfortunately for Liverpool, though, obviously Cole got sent off and then they had to play the last sort of 10 minutes with nine men, didn't they? But, I mean, Arsenal, we got a lucky draw out of it. So that'll spur them on. But like you say about Tottenham, I thought they battered City. City were pretty awful. Nothing going forward. And at the back, Mika Richards looks—he's gone down so much as a player since the first few seasons when he broke through. His positioning is awful, and his defending, his knowledge—it doesn't seem up there. I mean, Gareth Bale's in good form, as we know from last season, but I thought Richards really should have handled him a bit better. As for Chelsea, obviously, they are going to be the main challengers. There's no doubt about it.
Indeed. Well, let's hope we can keep the form going. I'm getting even more hopeful every time I see United play this season, because they just look like a team who's out to win the league, and they've got their piece of meat dangling in front of them and they're going for it. Right, Dan, let's move on. Just a few bits and pieces. We've been linked this week with Raul Morelos of Portugal. He's obviously another midfielder that we've been linked with. Do you think the shopping's done for the season, or do you think we're going to try and bring maybe one other midfielder in before the transfer window shuts?
I think we probably do need that one more. It depends on how Hargreaves and Anderson and how their fitness is. I can't see Hargreaves playing much this season. Someone like Morelos would be a good addition. Obviously, he's a defensive midfielder, but he can get forward and get the odd goal or two. He's decent on the ball as well, every time I've seen him for Portugal. Depends on which you're going to pay for him, though. I wouldn't pay any more than, 8 million, 8-9 million. But even if he's 27, 28, I think it'll be a good buy for us if it's for the right price. Watching the game tonight, I think we've got enough about us. If Scholes can keep up his form, and if Fletcher can improve a little bit as well on tonight's performance, we've got a good chance as anyone.
Yeah, no, I think so as well. I think Paul Scholes is just... he's in some of the best form he's been for a long time. If he keeps that going, then he's going to be hard to displace from the side for sure. Right, and another one as well, Ryan Giggs. He's come out and said he wants to manage either Manchester United or Wales. Obviously, this brings up the question, the successor to Alex Ferguson and such like. We'll start with Giggs first. Do you think Giggs could be a Manchester United manager, or do you think maybe that's just... a step too far for him? Do you think he's a too much of a nice guy to be in charge of a big club like that?
No, well, he can't. He won't walk straight into the job, would he? So he'd have to prove himself elsewhere. But I mean, I don't see any reason why not. As long as he'd have a lot of advice to pass on to players and a lot of experience and knowledge. He probably knows his tactics inside out. Having to listen to Fergie for all those years. So I don't see any reason why he couldn't do a good job. Just depends on his character, really, if he really wants to go for it. Because I think Michael Owen has mentioned it as well. He'd like to be a manager one day. And I can see Owen being a manager, but, like you say, Giggs, I don't think, is the outstanding sort of player that you'd think, oh, he's definitely going to be a manager. But if he does, I wish him all the best. It'd be great to see him as United manager.
Oh, yeah, and obviously it'd be a great story as well, just being at the club for so long, then going out to manage. But it just is one of those players, like you say, who doesn't seem like they could be a manager. Obviously, when Roy Keane sort of turned his hand to management, it was like seemed a natural thing for him to do. But then Giggsy doesn't really, it just doesn't seem it's like a natural thing. I would like him to go into coaching at the club, maybe do something that like Ollie Solskjaer's doing. Go and help the young guys. Obviously, he's got all that experience that you mentioned. Sort of pass some of that on for a little bit as well, and stay at the club too. I'd like to see him stay at the club in some capacity when he does retire.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you take someone like Mark Hughes, who when he was playing football, you know, playing for United and playing for Chelsea and Southampton, you wouldn't have thought, oh, he's definitely going to be a manager. But you know, he's had a really good time of it. I think he's not letting anybody down. He was unlucky to lose his job at City. He did okay with Wales as well. Obviously, did very well with Blackburn. So, it's all, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't be a good manager if you're a bit sort of, you know, you've got a quiet character. But I imagine Ryan Giggs in the dressing room. I reckon he'll be one of the chief protagonists of anything that's going on.
We're just sort of speculating, so we don't know what's happened, what will happen, but we only time will tell, shall we say.
You're listening to the redcafe.net podcast.
So everybody, it's this time on the redcafe.net podcast where we're going to talk youth and reserves. We haven't spoken much about it in the last couple of episodes, so we're delighted to welcome Mr. Mujack, or Tony Park, to the Redcafe.net podcast. We had Tony on a couple of times last year, and he's back to help us out this season. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thanks, David. It's glad to come back and talk about the youngsters that we hope will be the start of tomorrow.
Indeed, it's a pleasure to have you. We shall get right into proceedings, and well, we'll talk about sort of the reserve and sort of the youngsters and what they've been up to over the summer.
Sure.
Have you managed to catch any of the friendly matches that were involved? I mean, there's been a few decent results, some big victories and things like that as well. I mean, have you managed to catch any of those matches?
Yeah, I got down to the Yeovil game. I got down to Curzon and also Oxford. So I managed to get some of the games in. I didn't get up to the Scottish games and I couldn't get over to Ireland, but I saw the obvious highlights on TV, and disappointing in some ways, but interesting in many others.
Indeed. Well, we'll show... chat about some of the games and some of the players involved in the games, but just wanted to let everybody know we've got a 7 new scholars were announced: Tyler Blackett, Joe Call, Charney, I can't even say his surname, Barsho.
Engamini.
There you go. Cheers, Tony. Luke Hendry, Liam Jacob, Tom Lawrence, Luke McCulloch, and a Belgian team were signed. This is another one. I can't even say this one either. You got that one?
Marnik.
Vermagel, I think that's his name, from Standard Liège.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name either.
Yeah, it's tough in the reserve sometimes, you know. So obviously all these guys have signed with us, and out of the sort of new guys that you've seen, I mean, is there any that have caught your eye in the games that you've managed to watch?
Out of the names you mentioned, I went down to the Spurs under 18 game last Saturday and saw Ikengamini play. He was playing left back. And I'm not sure if that's his right position. Funny enough, I watched quite a lot of 16s football last season, and I didn't see him involved a lot, and I'm not sure why, whether he sort of came halfway through or not. And I still think he's got a bit of development to go, particularly on the positioning. I don't know if anybody watched the 18s game, but he kept getting sucked into the middle of the pitch and giving the Spurs forwards, so the Spurs winger, a lot of space. And one of the interesting things that sort of didn't help him, but we're hoping is going to help United, is that they've widened the pitch at Carrington by 2 yards on either side of the play to give, you know, classic United play 4-4-2, give our wingers an opportunity to show the craft. The only thing I would be concerned about with our under-18 side is that we don't seem to have a lot of natural wingers, with Robbie Brady stepping up, Cameron Stewart and Ajozi and that from last term. So it's going to be interesting to see who comes through. I'm expecting Bambi perhaps to get a run out in the 18s this year and use that space. So Ikengamini, from a defensive perspective, probably didn't have his best game, so I'll be interested to see how he develops. Luke Hendry obviously has been playing with England under 17s after a pretty bad leg break last year. He's an industrious player. I haven't seen enough of him regularly, consistently, but he's a reliable player. He's somebody who I think can play a number of roles. The ones that have impressed me the most really are Tom Lawrence. This is a young Welsh lad who turned down Wales schoolboys on a number of occasions, but this season he accepted the offer to go and play for the Wales schoolboy team. And he's a very, very bright player. I think he's almost like a Will Keane in the way that he can tactically read the game. And I'm going to be, you know, looking forward to seeing more of him this term. He's only slightly built, but he's got a really good football brain, and he knows where the back of the net is too. So I think those people following the academy should just keep an eye out for his name as the season progresses. Luke McCulloch's been over on trial quite a few times in the last couple of seasons. He plays centre-half. He lacks a little bit of pace, so it's going to be interesting to see with a little bit of height that he's now got and a little bit of more experience whether or not he's made up for that with some positional play or maybe just, you know, got to the pace of the game over here with constant training. I think it's very hard for some of these lads to come in, play a few trial games, and then, you know, they go back to Ireland and then they come back again, and the pace of the game is very different. So when they start training regularly and they get into the dietary schemes and the fitness regime, I think it makes a massive difference. Some of the others, David, all I can say is I don't know enough about them yet in terms of seeing them. The likes of Cole, the likes of Jacob, I really can't say. Tyler Blackett is a very skillful lad. Very occasional lapses of concentration let him down. He's good on the ball, strong, tall, almost, you know, you call Wes Brown lackadaisical or, you know, laid back. This boy is twice as laid back as Wesley Brown. Nothing seems to faze him, but unfortunately, even the coaches are saying they'd like to put a bit of a rocket up his, you know, to get the lad motivated on occasion because he's got all the skills. And it'll be interesting to see how he progresses through the 18s this year as well.
Indeed. Well, the guys that have signed for the academy. A few players will have been released as well. Fabian Brandy, Tom Heaton, Sam Hewson, Scott Moffat and Ron Robert Zila, they all left the club on expiry of their contracts. David Gray joined Preston North End and Craig Cathcart joined Blackpool. I mean, out of those guys that left, I mean, was there any that maybe surprised you for not getting their contracts renewed or getting let go?
I don't think so. I think Tommy Heaton, I think it was well known within the club that they rated Tom Heaton as probably technically the best keeper. I was talking to a couple of people that I know their stuff, so type of thing, and they said that after Van der Sar and Cusack, that Tommy Heaton was the third rated goalkeeper at the club. They just rated him incredibly well. However, he just lacked height, and that was going to always be his problem at a Premiership level. And I think they were very clear with Tom that was going to always hold him back at Manchester United. And they were happy to let him go to further his career. And I think Tom was comfortable with that. I don't think there was any you know, doubt that was going to happen. Fabian, I think, has sort of stood still for a couple of years. And Sam Hewson, for me, he even went backwards. He had a fantastic 2007 when he scored the away goal in the FA Youth Cup final over at Anfield. And then he's home. We expected to win the home game and win the Youth Cup that term. And he just had a shocker. And I really don't feel that he's recovered from that. He missed a penalty and, you know, felt the weight of on his shoulders. And he just sort of went backwards after that. He seemed to put on a little bit of weight. And I believe that he's now looking for an opportunity in the States. There's talk about him looking at an opportunity to go and play in the USA with Toronto or somebody. So I'll be looking forward to seeing any news on that score. Scott Moffat, God, that boy, if anybody deserved a break, it was him. He had so many injuries over a number of years. And then United sort of gave him an additional year on his contract to help the lad out, and he just couldn't make it. And Zila, I just think there's a lot of competition for keepers, and it wasn't a surprise because he wasn't getting a run in the reserves. We had so many keepers. Personally, I liked David Gray a lot. I think he wasn't given the chance because he'd never, ever let us down in any game he played. I would have really liked to have seen him get a run of 5 or 10 games in the first team just to see if he could have made the step up because he had the pace, he had the aggression, he had the strength, his distribution was good, strong in the tackle. He was one. If any of them were a surprise, it was probably him. And obviously Cathcart with his bad injury that he had a season or so ago. Johnny Evans has just come through and taken his position. And then with the signing of Smalling, I just think that he thought, look, I'm not going to get a chance here and it's best for me if I move on. So that wasn't too surprising either.
Indeed. Well, we wish them all luck in the respective clubs that they do join. A couple of players were retained. Matt James, he's returned to Preston North End on loan for the season, and Danny Drinkwater, he's went on loan to Cardiff City. So a couple of them, well, those two guys will be looking to get some first team football as well, and let's hope they can come back better players and maybe get a chance in the first team as well. But you mentioned Yeah, you mentioned at the start there, Tony, about the matches that you went and seen. You went and seen the 4-0 win over Curzon Ashton and the 3-2 defeat against Yeovil Town. I mean, just taking those two games, a big win and a defeat. I mean, what were your outcomes and what were reactions to those two games?
I think to be perfectly honest, we may well struggle this season defensively. It doesn't look like defensively we've got. And I don't know where that is. I'm still trying to make my mind up whether the lack of strength in midfield, which is putting additional pressure on the defence, or it's actually in defence we've got the problem. And I'm not sure what that is. Possibon really isn't a defensive midfielder in that sense. Norwood really isn't a defensive midfielder in that sense. And that was the sort of Matty James role, if you like. Or the Danny Drinkwater roles, if you want to take it one step further. So I think, in some respects, the midfielders we've got now, Ekram, Cleverly, the new lad Marnik, I don't know if he's more defensive, I haven't seen him at all to comment, and Possebon, I think they're great going forward, and I think that may be where we're struggling at the reserve level. Certainly when we went to Yeovil, we conceded three goals very, very quickly in it, and there didn't seem to be anybody really taking ownership and control. There wasn't that strength of character from the midfield to marshal that. And that was very evident. So it's going to be interesting to see how that progresses throughout the term. The two that impressed me the most in the reserve so far have been Robbie Brady when he's come on. If that boy can stay fit, I really believe he's got all the skills, he's got all the talents. He just keeps picking up knocks. And he seems to have got bigger and taller as well, which is going to be great. But I was very impressed with him. And, you know, in a very sort of contradictory comment, Ravel Morrison, he seems to have settled down a lot and got less involved in, you know, the harsher side of the game. But it almost seems to have taken something off his game. He just doesn't seem to be involved as much. He scored a fantastic goal at Curzon. I don't know if you saw it, David, with the chip over the keeper, which was pure class. Mm-hmm. And then he drifted out of the game for the next 40 minutes and he was not to be seen. And again, just to reinforce my comment, he's not exactly a defensive midfielder in any way either. So I think, you know, we've got a lot of luxury players in midfield. And if things aren't going well, I think that's very interesting to see how that sort of will manifest itself with a very different reserve league this year.
Indeed. Well, it's good job you mentioned that, Tony. I'll run everybody through about what's going to entail in the reserve league this year. Basically, it's been revamped for the new season, and it will see 16 teams out there in the reserve league split into three groups. United are in Group A along with Bolton Wanderers, Manchester City, Newcastle and Wigan, and each side will play the other teams in their group twice, home and away, and then every other team in Groups B and C once, either home or away. So there should be 19 games for Manchester United over the seasons, which means like normally they wouldn't get to play teams like Arsenal or Chelsea, things like that, in the Reserve League, but now they're going to get to do that. So obviously it'll be a good challenge for the young lads to get and play some of these sort of their counterparts at the top clubs who are in their top club reserve league, so it'll be good tests for them. Just before we let you go, Tony, a couple of quick ones. A lot's been made of Tom Cleverley, obviously back from Watford, and how do you think he'll settle in to obviously United reserves and maybe breaking into the first team? Do you think he can get an extended run this season?
So, yeah, I think Tom Cleverley is definitely one for the future. I'm not sure he's going to be an impact player as much as almost a Darren Fletcher type person who's going to take a little bit of time in. He'll actually make a position his own, whether that's out wider or you know, in a more central position, because he's got all the skills. He's very well grounded, as I said. He's got huge potential in and one of the lads who I think could be the next one to really make it at the club. And I think what Alex will do will be to blood him in the right games, in the right way, to give him the experience, almost thinking, I think he's going to be more of one for next season or the season after, as opposed to the way he used Makeda to sort of come on and try to influence a game in the way he did against Villa the season before. So it'll be interesting. I think what's more interesting with Tom is not necessarily is he going to make it, what sort of impact will he have. I think it's going to be how will Ferguson decide to use his talent in the short to medium term. I think that's going to be interesting to watch.
Indeed, well, we shall look forward to seeing it with bated breath. And we have unfortunately run out of time. As much as we could talk about the young guys for hours and hours, we'll have to stop for this week. But Tony, it's a pleasure having you on the show, and hopefully we can have you on in the very near future as the Reserve League gets underway.
It's a pleasure, David.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast. You can email us at podcast@redcafe.net, or alternatively, post your opinion on the RedCafe.net forums.
So everybody, we're nearing the end of the RedCafe.net podcast, but we have to preview the Sunday's match against Fulham, and we have James Tizard on the line of Cottage Corner and season ticket holder at Craven Cottage, and somebody we had the pleasure of speaking to last season as well. So, James, welcome back to the RedCafe.net podcast.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to have me back.
And, well, I think last time we spoke to you was before we got battered at Craven Cottage last season, so you can gloat.
Yeah, a game that I predicted that you'd actually beat us in, but if memory serves me right, you didn't have much of a defence that day, and yeah, it was a pretty easy game, which is not so you can say often about games against Manchester United.
Yeah, we didn't have much of anything, to be fair.
Yeah, Michael Owen was playing for one, so we knew we were on to a winner.
Oh, terrible. And well, I've got to congratulate you on your season last season as well, which was spectacular, to say the least. You must have been a happy chap.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Looking back on it now, it's sort of surreal. It's something that it was really hard to put into context because we've never had anything like it before. We had a cup run to the FA Cup final in '75, but this was different. It was something completely unique for the club. It was each step we were just happy to get there. And then we're looking back, we're disappointed to have lost a European final, which is absolutely insane for any Fulham fan to be saying if you look back 15 years ago when we're in the doldrums of the Football League. So I still think most of it hasn't set in for most Fulham fans, but I think looking back in maybe 15 years' time, and God knows what such situation we'll be in then, it was just a great, great season for the history of the club.
Indeed, and well, you could say one of the men responsible was Roy Hodgson. He's left and joined Liverpool. And you've got Mark Hughes in the hot seat. What are your thoughts on that appointment, and how do you think the former United player will do?
I think Hughes was a good choice. Hodgson leaving, I guess it was inevitable. The feeling that he may have gone for the England job if Capello would have gone, or he obviously took the Liverpool job before the World Cup, but if England would have had an even worse World Cup than they did, he could have gone for that one. Losing him to Liverpool, whether we like it or not, they are a bigger club, bigger fan base. By the sounds of it, he won't have a bigger chance for Kitty to go from than he has would have had at Fulham, but you know, he made his choice, and Mark Hughes coming in, I think, is a sound choice. It's obviously difficult for him because it would have seemed our first choice would have been Martignol. That didn't work out. For me, I was happy with Hughes from the start. I'm happy with Hughes now. He's got a good track record, especially at Blackburn, who are a similar-sized club with a similar sort of budget and a similar sort of fan base. And obviously Manchester City is the big thing on his CV, but anyone who managed at Manchester City is not managing in real football, really. He was liked by the fans there. He tried to build a team that was created for him by the owners, and he'll have a bit more of a hands-on approach at Fulham. So I think he'll be okay at Fulham, and I think he'll do a good job for us.
Excellent stuff. And what about the transfers in and out of Fulham? You signed a guy today, actually, from AZ Alkmaar, Moussa Dembele. I mean, what are your thoughts on the sort of transfer activity and the possible maybe departure of Mark Schwarzer as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's minimal on both fronts, really. We've had a lot of the lesser players of the squad with contracts running out that have gone. The big departure was Chris Smalling to Manchester United, obviously. The deal that happened back in January, so it wasn't much of a surprise or anything to see him go. Not many other major players gone as of yet. Schwarzer, it seems, wants to move to Arsenal. I heard that didn't happen. He's put a transfer request in. He didn't play against Bolton. I'd expect him to be gone by the transfer window's close. Paul Konchesky as well. Rumours that he'll be off to Liverpool to join up with Hodgson would be a blow. but he is replaceable. A left back, you know, he's a decent left back. But as of yet, these players haven't gone, and it's likely that Konchesky at least may well play on Sunday, but I doubt Schwarzer will. The players coming in, well, Philip Senderos came in on a free transfer from Arsenal, but he's out for the season already, picked up an injury last week. I think it was the Achilles that went, so he's not going to be much of an impact this season. And yeah, the lad that brought in today, Musa Dembele, little known about him. I'd be surprised if he started against Manchester United, who have quite a set starting 11. He looks like a good prospect. He was wanted by Birmingham, and we picked him before for £5 million. Seems like a good bit of business. Hopefully he'll be able to live up to what seems quite a high reputation coming from Dutch football.
Indeed, it seems like he has got a high reputation from what I've read about him. I just want to get your thoughts, Sam, before we sort of discuss the game against United. What are your thoughts on Chris Smalling? Obviously, you would have seen him a lot more than a lot of United fans would have last season. I mean, do you think he's got it in him to make it at United, or do you think it's a massive, massive gamble?
It's an odd one. It's hard to know what sort of budget Manchester United have each year, and it's also hard to know exactly what the figure is, because I've got a feeling the figure will be dependent on playing for England, playing for Manchester United, and winning stuff with Manchester United. But I think the rough estimate is around £6 million fee, one-off, to start with. It seems quite high. He played in the early rounds of the European matches last season. They did fairly well. He played against Chelsea in Boxing Day fixture last season at Stamford Bridge. Did well. Scored an own goal, but did well. After that, he did get a few more games when we were resting players towards the end of the season. And he looked competent. He looked quite comfortable on the ball. He's a big lad. But, I mean, it was a surprise to see Man United go in for him and spend such big money on him. Whether or not he'll do it, I don't know. I think Manchester United have got two relatively young defenders in Vidic and Johnny Evans, who, obviously with Rio Ferdinand in there as well, do a good job. Find a good position for him. He's not versatile like maybe Wes Brownis, who can go right back, or John O'Shea, who can go right back or left back. He can only play centre back. I think he's going to find opportunities quite hard to find, but he should be okay. Whether or not the price was the right one, I don't think you'll find many Fulham fans complaining.
Well, not at all. Right, last season, we'll have to mention it again. You managed to get a victory against us at Craven Cottage. Do you think you'll manage it again this season?
First of all, I've got to forget we've beaten you the last two seasons at Craven Cottage without conceding a goal. So we've got a good record, and I think we've always got a chance. I think that's what maybe last season has taught us as fans, is that we've always got a chance to maybe produce performances against good teams. I mean, okay, we beat a not the best Juventus team last year, but we beat them. We beat the German champions as well in Wolfsburg, who Manchester United struggled with in the couple of games that they played with. And I think we have no fear, really, especially at home. And I think there's a thing in the press where Fulham haven't quite still got the credit they deserve. And that is not in just the written media, that's in TV as well. You look at teams gone by, not so much now, but if you look at Bolton under Sam Allardyce, it was always seen as a tough game, a tough place to go to and get a win. Well, I don't see why Fulham don't get the same sort of reputation now as Bolton did then. We don't play long ball. We play good passing football, technical football, and we've got a good defence. But it's still seen as, so most people at Man United will win this game, whilst coming to us, you know, I think in hindsight from last season, Europe was a bit of a detrimental factor for our league form, but one more win and we would be in the top 10. So this game, a fresh squad, a new manager, I think we can get a draw. To think we can get another result, keeping a clean sheet against Man United 3 seasons in a row, is unrealistic to think of. But it was unrealistic to think the last two seasons we'd win 3-0 and 2-0. So I'd like to think we can get a draw, but for us to win is not impossible either. It'll be a tough game for United, that's for sure.
So you're a bit more optimistic this time, James. So I'm getting a bit more optimistic myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, seeing United on Monday against Newcastle, it was very fluid. It looked like very much like they knew what they were doing, which I think you have to give Ferguson credit for. There's not much upheaval in that squad for the last two seasons. They weren't far off last season of winning the league, despite Chelsea winning the double. Manchester United were not far off. Seeing them so far in the Charity Shield and in the first game against Newcastle, they look very, very good this season.
Indeed, and well, I was just going to ask you this, a couple of players maybe that you're most fearful of on Sunday, and maybe a couple of Fulham players that we should maybe send an email to Alex Ferguson about.
Well, United, they have got a good squad. Saying this, I won't say Rooney because I said him last time, but he will come good again this season. He's had a bad World Cup. He's probably nursing an injury as well. Hopefully it won't come against us on Sunday, but it may well do. I like the look of Valencia. I think he's growing into the club now. He had a good first season, a steady first season. I think he can really push on this season. And the same for Nani as well. I think down both wings, if those two can get the games behind them, I think Ferguson will put his faith in them as well. I think they can deliver too. I think they're doing a lot more for the team, both of them. I think they can be the real important players, both from Sunday and for the rest of the season. As for Fulham, well, we've got Bobby Zamora, England's number nine, as he is now, or certainly for the time being. I don't see it lasting, but he's turned himself into a very good player. He's reinvented himself at the club, and I think he's done really, really well in doing so. He's a player to look out for. He'll be up against Vidic this time, not up against Michael Carrick and Darren Fletcher like he was last season, but he'll give Vidic a real tough game, and it's something I'm sure we'll be looking forward to seeing that challenge going up against each other on Sunday. Other Fulham players, I think Zoltan Gira, he's become a striker really with us, or a second striker, but he's scoring goals. He's got a hat-trick pre-season against Werder Bremen. He's a good player. He's a hard worker, and he's a good player. Both of these players are not on Manchester United radar, and both really for reinventing themselves and forging a good career at Fulham. Both real fan favourites.
Indeed, you wouldn't have thought Bobby Zamora would be in England squad a few years ago. So credit to him for that. But I'm going to put you in the Mohamed Al-Fayed's shoes, James. Okay, but you've got even more money, right? And you can buy any United player. I know last season you chose Rooney, so you've got another transfer window. Who would you buy this time?
It wouldn't be Chris Smalling, that's for sure. It's a tricky one. It's easy to say Rooney, but I'm determined not to this time. With this situation with the goalkeeper, I'd take Edwin van der Sar back. He was a terrific for us. He did wonders for us, and you can't help but feel he probably missed out on some of the best years of his career winning trophies when he was with us. That said, he went to Manchester United, he won the Champions League, and he's won a good few leagues as well. So I'd take Van der Sar back because he was such a consistent player for us. I remember one game for us, I think it was against Aston Villa, a game we were absolutely battered in East States, and we got a last minute equaliser. So I'll always he'll always be held in my heart quite highly for that game. And he's still, I think, one of the best goalkeepers in the world, if not the best goalkeeper in the world.
Oh, he definitely is. He's absolutely fantastic. He showed that in the last couple of games when he's been called upon to make saves with just doing nothing for so long. But before we let you go, James, I need a prediction off you.
Last year I went to Neil United. It was 3-0 Fulham. I'll go 1-1.
1-1. Oh, well, sit on the fence. I like it, James. Well, thanks again for coming on the RedCafe.net podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure. And, well, I wish you luck for the season ahead, and I hope it's as good as it was for you last season.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're listening to the RedCafe.net podcast.
So then, we have Fulham on Sunday. Super Sunday, in fact. It's away at Craven Cottage. Do you think it'll be a hiding like we got last season, or do you think it'll be a bit more positive considering recent performances?
I think that obviously after the Chelsea game and after tonight's game as well, I think that we'll do okay. It's a very, very hard place to go to, Craven Cottage, and you can get turned over if you don't play well. The crowd's close to the pitch, and they're a decent team. Mark Hughes will have them fired up. But if we keep our shape, keep our discipline, and I think we'll be fine. I can't see any reason why we would not win, but it's a tricky place to go. But hopefully, we can come away with a victory. I'd take a scrappy 1-0 win. you know, get your points, get some early points on the board.
Indeed, definitely. As long as the points go on the board, Bolton played Fulham, or well, Fulham travelled to Bolton, sorry, at the weekend there and got a 0-0 draw, and it was maybe a bit, should we say lucky, or they were a bit lucky to get a point there, and I think they had to thank their reserve keeper, David Stockdale, who he was in place of Mark Schwarzer, who'd been injured, or who is injured. Do you think that like the losing a keeper of Schwarzer's stature would be be a negative thing for him? Do you think that's something that we can capitalise on and maybe something we'll look to exploit as well?
Well, he's obviously an inexperienced goalkeeper, but often it's those keepers that play really well against you, isn't it? You know, they've nothing to lose, really. I think Schwarzer will probably be leaving as well, you know, unless Arsenal don't want him. He clearly wants to go there. So it depends what Matt Hughes does with him, but you know, it's a great chance for the young lad in goal. And as you say, they were lucky, really, on Saturday to get away with a draw from the Reebok, which is good for us. But saying that, Fulham have never been brilliant away from home, have they? I mean, they do okay, but they don't set the world alight. So it's the home form that keeps them in and around, isn't it? So, yeah, no reason why. Like I say, you know, you've got to be confident going into it. We played well tonight. And just hopefully go there and get our victory.
Well, I hope so. Who do you think will come in? Do you think maybe, obviously, Michael Owen wasn't even on the bench against Newcastle. Do you think he will maybe get on the bench, maybe get a start? Do you think Hernandez will get a start? Or do you think he'll maybe try and keep quite a settled lineup?
I think he'll stay with Bertolucci and Rooney. I thought they did well enough tonight to merit another pop at it. But yeah, I mean, Owen could easily come on the bench. Like we know we've got a lot of strikers at the club. Makeda was chosen ahead of Owen tonight, but there were times where Owen will come on and he'll do really well. I read his quotes over the weekend saying he's very happy at United and he'd rather play, you know, half the games at Old Trafford rather than play, you know, the full season at a lesser club, which is good to hear. He knows his place in the squad. He'd obviously be disappointed not playing, you know, tonight, but yeah, he'll get his chances throughout the season and he'll score some goals for us. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah, I'm glad you're confident, Dan. I like it. what about Carrick? Do you think Carrick will get on? Obviously, he started the Charity Shield, looked not bad. Out the team again, his form really been quite terrible for probably about a year now. Do you think he's another one who can maybe look to capitalise on maybe below par Fulham?
Well, obviously, I don't see Paul Scholes, even though he played really well tonight. I wouldn't think that he'd get a start on Sunday. Although saying that, it's, you know, it's virtually a week, isn't it, from the last game, so he's got plenty of recovery time. Just depends what Fergie goes with. Carrick will keep the ball very well in midfield. He'll play some nice sidewards and you know, forward passes as well to keep everything ticking over. But you know, Scholes at the moment is different class. Obviously, Fletcher will probably play. But I'd be interested to see whether Fergie goes 4-4-2 or whether he goes, you know, 4-3-3 or whatever. That'd interest me away from home. See what he does there.
Yeah,
because he's got a lot of options.
Exactly.
He can really pick any formation he wants, and the players can make it work.
Yeah, and how is he going to keep all those strikers happy as well?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to the strikers to make sure they're in the team. You know, impressing in pre-season like some of them have. You know, in training as well. Bertolucci played really well tonight, you know. Rooney played okay on Sunday against Chelsea, as did Hernandez when he came on. So there's no, I thought Owen did okay on Sunday as well. So no, I think we've got plenty of options, and like I say, keeping them happy will be the main thing.
Well, that's all we have time for this week on the RedCafe.net podcast. Remember, if you want to leave us a comment, send us a question, anything like that, the email address is podcast@redcafe.net. Also, we have a Facebook group as well, so make sure you join that or just leave a comment on the RedCafe.net forums. So thank you again for listening, and we shall look forward to seeing you next week.